coming at you live from Indianapolis, Indiana. It's the Brain Trust Podcast. This is I'm Adam Bass, a tabletop game designer from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And I'm Willie Yobst, a tabletop game designer from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, but currently in Gen Con, Indiana. That's right. It's its own city now at this point. We're coming at you live week two of the Brain Trust Gen Con coverage. Adam, what is it like out there? Record heat waves.
Yeah, it's hot. I got nothing. Where are we? Where the hell are we?
We are live at the Gen Con Autonomous Zone. This is where we are throwing our anti-convention. That's right. We've been conscripted with other indie tabletop publishers to create a counter-convention to Gen Con. And we are just in the planning stages, getting our war council set up to go all at war against those in the Indiana Convention Center.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, we had this idea before we were banned from the grounds of Gen Con. We've actually been working on this for a really long time. And it's not related to the fact that we are not allowed in the convention center.
Yeah, for circumstances we may or may not get into later this episode. But we are basically just imagineering every element of Gen Con and making it just a little bit better for the Gen Con Autonomous Zone. So we got things in mind like, you know those swag bags that you put your giant board games in?
Of course.
We're making those even bigger.
They're bigger. They're boxier. They're better than ever.
Two people have to carry these. Wow, just even saying that reminded me of when I saw people with swag bags so full, so numerous and so full, that you needed multiple family members to carry them.
New family game night has a whole new meaning.
We've got an auction at the Gen Con Autonomous Zone. Gaz. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah, it's the opposite of a silent auction. So the loudest person just wins the prize each time. So we people are just hooting auction and hollering.
And right now we are, I wouldn't quite call them NFTs, but we are getting into kind of speculative art trading at this point.
Yeah, they're certainly tokens and they certainly are not fungible, but I wonder if some AI is going to scrape this too. This is my new paranoia, is that we make a podcast and robots can listen to us talk about things that we actually hate but we're being sarcastic about.
Yeah, we talk too much shit on this podcast. Last week it was about COVID and I had to bleep it out. And now we're talking about NFTs, and now I'm going to get another fucking email from someone who's noticed my Shopify page, and they're like, hey, do you want to get in on the secret community?
Do I ever?
If you have a Shopify account, you basically are put on a secret mailing list for communities that will scam the living daylights out of you.
It's kind of like an ARG.
Yeah, anybody that's run a Kickstarter knows what I'm talking about. Someone who comes out of nowhere, form message that says like, oh, we've noticed that your Kickstarter project, and it will be like, skew dice to make Will sick is the project you're doing. And then they'll offer to like boost your campaign, give your campaign steroids.
To thousands of followers.
Out. Yeah.
It's always to our thousands of followers.
To our thousands of followers. Speaking of skew dice, we love weird dice of the Brain Trust, but there is this one set of dice that are kind of mutated and skewed and physically hurt my head to look at. We have one of those like salon beauty mirrors in our apartment. And you know what I'm talking about, like it's a circular mirror, and it's on a gimbal so it can rotate and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One side is concave, and the other side is convex. And I flipped it over one day cleaning it and looked at myself in the convex mirror and fucked up my brain for the whole day. I was out. Headache, everything. If you skew or warp my reality at all, I become a worm. There's nothing else for me. I'm totally annihilated. If I got trapped in a clown's funhouse mirror or some kind of final boss in a kung fu movie, I'm surrendering everything.
You're definitely in a zone that I'm not in yet. I got coming in cold to the record.
That's okay.
I'll meet you at the autonomous zone, no doubt, eventually. Through sheer tyranny of will.
Will's tyranny. This is what happens when you record every week a podcast, which we're getting back into.
I think there is a magic to us forgetting we have a podcast and coming back to it. There's an energy there. And when we try to stay on schedule, it's like, we just fucking did this.
It's kind of like a seasickness. Like, when you are coming into it for the first time, you get punch drunk, and it's good and easy, and at the end, you're completely exhausted. And this is my second call of the day, and I already went to the grocery store today, and I had to turn off the AC to do this, so I'm on a ticking kind of internal clock for this one.
Yeah, recording at notoriously the hottest time of day.
Yeah, so, 4 p.m. No problem.
Well,
currently there's a heat wave across the whole world. You probably are suffering from it. What is it like over there in Michigan? You're not actually in Indiana. We're lying.
That was not clear.
That wasn't clear.
It's still hot here. My house has air conditioning, for which I'm very grateful.
Nice.
The coffee shop that my partner runs does not, or it is broken. And I still, despite all logic, I still go there almost every afternoon and work. I could just stay home.
True love.
Work on a more powerful computer right next to an air conditioning vent. And instead, I suffer through my choking to death MacBook at the coffee shop bar, where it is generally 5 degrees warmer inside than outside.
Nice.
Until someone comes to help.
I saw a picture from the coffee shop, and it looked like a late 80s Cronenberg set.
We have these like mini fridge shaped air conditioners, but
oh yeah, portable ACs.
We kept people would bring them in, and like there was one that wasn't working, and so we've formed this small like mountain range of pods. And yeah, that's the sort of horrific landscape that we've crafted within the shop interior. And one is just running full time doing its goddamn best. The others are just watching and trying to cheer them on.
Yeah, we've got one of those portable ACs here, and it's just 24/7. Last summer, we used to wheel it around to the bedroom and then into the living room / office whenever we needed it, like some kind of depraved heat ritual that we would do. But now it's just on. It hasn't been off. So, like, here's an issue with this podcast record. Is that this is the first time it's been off in a long time for a while. And you know when you go into the world's most silent room and you feel your bones speak to one another? It is so quiet that I feel compelled to fill up the space with speaking and talking because the white noise is gone.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I have like fans just running around the house even though the air is like doing its job, just to keep things a little less noisy, or more noisy, I guess.
Are you a white noise person, or do you like some of these newer noises people are inventing?
I'm a traditionalist. Yeah, I actually have headphones that only play white noise. Like, they're Bluetooth headphones that cannot stream audio. They only play noise that you have to preload. So, I do prefer the classics. I am intrigued by some of these new noises.
brown noise one, which is not the brown note, I've learned. The brown note, as you know, is the note that makes you shit.
Of course.
The brown noise is like a low-pass filter on white noise, I think, or something. And then there's gray noise, I think.
I know there's also a pink noise.
That's pink sauce.
I deleted TikTok, so I don't know what the internet is talking about anymore.
Okay, I'll catch you up really quick. First of all, pink sauce. It's a... Someone makes custom sauce out of their kitchen, and every problem you could imagine that comes from that is happening with it. Color control is a big issue. Lots of hues.
So
what is... What's pink
sauce? Pink sauce to me is just when you mix Alfredo and tomato sauce.
Pink sauce to me is Pepto.
Okay. I can see it.
Pink sauce to me... Wait, what is pink noise?
It's one of the noises. It's a new one.
This is not funny to talk about, I guess.
I mean, I don't know the difference. I couldn't describe to you the difference between any noise.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like... It'd be really funny if we said, like, I was going to set up doing an impression of white noise, and I would just play a clip of white noise. That would be a pretty funny joke.
And everyone would go, wow, they're really good at imitating.
Wow, that's so funny. This is ostensibly a podcast about game design and tabletop role-playing games.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
You want to, let's, what did we do last week? We made some, oh no, we just philosophized last week, and it was really nice.
Yeah, we talked about, since last week, Yours's Truly's have been nominated for Best Rules for Archives of Alexandria, a digital escape RPG for two players that we designed on this podcast.
Hell yeah. So,
thanks so much to the IGDN folks and judges, and just gotta say, another one.
Very cool. Yeah, 2 years in a row that we were nominated for games we crafted on air.
It's very cool. Last time was most innovative for This Discord Has Ghosts in It, and this time Archives of Alexandria for Best Rules. A completely stacked category. So many trustees all over the place. So congrats to everybody who was nominated.
Let's try to smash a game together this week. We have feel like we haven't done that in a minute. What's our restriction or our theme or direction?
Okay. I was thinking that something we do on the podcast is there are lots of RPGs and adventures about being at a con that's like, you're at Gen Con and then there's zombies. Or like, you're at Gen Con and you have to kill the president. Or you're at Gen Con and you have to leave. But I'm thinking, what about a game that's about running a successful convention?
Okay.
So you scheduling and then live situations, dealing with those. It probably needs some kind of genre element to make it just not like there is Dr. Disrespect is filming in the bathroom. You need to stop him.
Yeah, this is like Office Simulator.
The booty doctor MD. Is at large.
Yeah, it does really sound like this is really testing the limits on what is a game. Because it does sound like we are creating a job listing.
It's the best kind of role-playing game. A type of YouTube video I love is someone describing a convention, usually anime or furries, that broke a lot of laws and international statutes and was one of the worst conventions in history. Are you familiar with this type of YouTube content?
I'm not. This is brand new to me.
Someone will like do a video that's like, at this anime convention, or like Tumblr convention was one of them, where like they got all of the attendees into a room and asked them to give money so they could keep their lease at the hotel. It's like stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, that happens surprisingly often. Organizers begging for money so they keep their reservation at the hotel. So I think we create the worst con in the world as a part of the game design, and it has a preset schedule, and then we have to, the players are the ones that have to keep it running or go down with the ship.
Okay, so first we need the sort of parameters in which the convention exists, right? So there's something that these people have in common that they're coming to celebrate. I feel like that thing innately needs to be bad to make this worse. You know, like the serial yeah. killer convention.
Yeah, or like a sneaker convention. Let's name it something like a Hypebeast thing is pretty good. But also, like, a niche fan thing can be pretty good as well.
I feel like we should avoid any, like, here's the worst con ever, and it's just, like, something that someone really likes.
People that like Halo 2 con. Yeah, like, it could be as broad as, like, if Twitter had a convention that people go to. I think that would be probably one of the worst conventions.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Like, if you could go somewhere where Twitter users are. But let's just name the con, and then part of making the game is figuring out as a group what it is, because I feel like all tastes are different.
Right. I think, something that's not, like, I'm thinking of, like, Complex Con, which, like, if you don't know.
I was just thinking of that.
Like,
yeah.
If you don't know what Complex is, then, like, that could be a convention for anything. That's like a perfectly generic name that's also perfectly specific to people who are going to it.
Let me look up... I am not shitting you when I say this exactly what I was thinking of it. So how about we say it's called Compound Con?
Sure.
Or we could do like... This is the good part of podcasting. I mean, Gen Con is a perfectly weird thing. So we could just call it like...
I'm thinking of it just like it's a prefix.
Com Con or something.
Pom, P-O-M.
Pom Con.
Welcome to Pom Con.
Pom Con. great. So we've got the con. I think we... have it over a set amount of time.
I think a weekend is a perfect length of time for everything to go bad.
Yeah, so you can kind of roguelike, right? So like, oh, we're going to try and beat PomCon by Sunday morning. We want all of our, you know, I guess like what are the resources we're tracking? Like what truly can go bad? Getting kicked out of the convention center? Losing all your money?
I guess what is our goal? What's the experience that we're trying to offer the players? Because is it the convention runners who are, like, trying to save their asses? Is there, like, a play-to-lose element where we as players, like, just love watching this thing fall apart?
Yeah, I think, like... as players, we should both be watching the horror of it and trying to right the ship. But I feel like a part of the game should be polling the convention goers to be like, well, are you enjoying this? And seeing how low or high approval can go on different things. And that's not necessarily related to if it is good or not.
I think you're inspired by a similar thing to which I'm thinking, which is Channel 5
yes.
YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Andrew Callahan.
Yes. So I think the game... I think that's the game. I think it exists outside of, but at the convention. And the players are both these... like interviewer folks who exist outside of the paradigm. And then also the people who go to the con and are... objectively weird, right? Like, I'm also thinking of like those old videos where Connor O'Malley goes to a vape convention or whatever.
Or like a porn convention. Yeah. And he's like, I'm the number one jerk off guy in New Jersey. Yeah, exactly. So for those that you don't know, Channel 5 is a ostensibly a news and interview show where a crew will go to a convention or a place where people are gathering and just let people speak on camera and on mic. And it kind of reveals a beautiful, weird mosaic of humanity. For example, he will go to the Satanists meeting and will talk to people protesting outside, kind folks selling soap on the inside, people debating, stuff like that. So if you're familiar with like Louis Theroux or other kind of humanist interviewers that just let people be themselves and don't try and, you know, exploit or humiliate anybody, that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah, I think also often about Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Have you ever seen that?
No, I gotta.
It's a movie. It's like 20 minutes or something. It's not as long as I'd love it to be, but it's very similar. Like just someone filming outside of a Judas Priest concert in the 80s and just letting the fans who are there do whatever they want on camera with a microphone, and like
that's great.
They can kind of guide the conversation, but you can't really account for just people being people. And there is something really pure and joyful about that. And I think Channel 5 does that really well too, where it's like not necessarily making fun of the people, but it's kind of silently allowing that person to be like some of the ones where it's like conservative protests or something, like you don't even need to say anything else. Just letting them say their thing is like the joke kind of, but it doesn't really feel like punching down either.
Right. Yeah. You're giving people space, and sometimes that space is suffocating, you know?
So yeah, I think the convention game framework,
It's a talking to weirdos game.
Yes. I think the lens through which our story's told, it's not even really a story, it's like these vignettes, right?
Yeah.
Is someone who exists outside of the paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they know what the convention is or not, I think that's part of the charm. Like, they don't need to know anything about gaming to ask a gamer what their favorite game is or whatever.
Yeah. Or like, what do you got in your bag? I think like having a couple set questions to start it up. So seems like this is a game where we set scenes where one person is the interviewer and one person is the weirdo. And I'm using weirdo just to be like, is the person the subject of focus? And so you got a couple set questions that's like, what's in your bag? What are you getting at the con today? What's your favorite cosplay?
I think back to a really good game we made on the show, the Rock Doc card game, or like the question game, where we were making these fictional documentaries about a band over the course of their career. And it sort of had this like player-generated fishbowl mechanic where we were writing questions or moments or whatever, and then revisiting them as time passes. And I think there's an element here too of like setup is creating all these strange people and their interests and like their sort of eccentricities, and then you somehow like mash these together, whether it be like dice tables or like drawing. You have this what's it called, this exquisite corpse of a human
who is
just here to have a good time, and then you interview them. It's like a party game I'm picturing, kind of like.
Yeah, and I think one part of Channel 5, like the magic trick, is you will meet someone at the beginning and then meet someone in the middle and then have both those people interact with each other in some way. I feel like that happens all the time. And so, yeah, getting to that moment feels like the core loop of the game.
Yeah, I think you have this sort of, that's sort of like a guide to casting phantoms. Like, we look at all the characters and we meet them, and in doing so, we decide which ones like cling to us.
Yeah. I think this is a guide related game.
Yeah, just like a character parade. That's like a
Then I think the
just like
yeah.
a character parade as a style of game is actually like a cool idea, right? Like there's so many games. We talk a lot about prestige TV and like gamifying shows that we like. But thinking of Lost as a character parade, like
yes.
There's it's such a big cast, and over the course of 6 seasons, it still expands. And like Game of Thrones is this too, because there's just so many characters and you want to know every person's story, but that's just not possible because of the breadth of the story.
Right, and the real fuel for shows like Lost and Game of Thrones is the character parade, but it's also character combos that you don't see until you do.
Yes.
So it's like, that's like a design thing I've been noodling on for a while, and I've got like a Lost design that involves something like that, but it's like, how do we take character A and character Z and we... Okay, so... I guess first we draft up a bunch of descriptors, and then by pulling them out of the salad bowl, we generate a character. And then we generate 6 characters. And we have to meet each of them, and then we have to put 2 of them together and another 2 together. And that's like the requirements of the game.
Yeah.
And for each person we meet, we have to find a new place and a new event. So... we are kind of creating the circumstance along with meeting the person. So it kind of takes off a little bit of the pressure of like improvising on the spot, because you can just create a place or something weird happening. It doesn't have to be just a character study of somebody.
Right. Even like to, if this is like a game convention, like thinking of, you know, the whatever, like the hottest board game of the summer is in stock at this booth. So you're like following them as they run through the hall and like trying, like climbing over people to get the new hotness or whatever. At ComplexCon, I think too, it was like, you know, oh, there was a sighting of this celebrity or like this shoe just dropped over here. Something that creates calamity.
Yeah, there's one where he goes to a sneaker convention and then tries to trade his Walmart shoes for some foam posits. And that's a whole thing. So, like, yeah, I think getting a hot board game, somebody waiting in line for a signing event with, like, a podcaster, something like that. The auction hall is great. The gaming hall is another really good one. You can take... Oh, go ahead.
You have all these interesting, like, liminal spaces, too, with conventions. Like, we were joking last week of the noodle bar or the Yard House down the street where you're getting Spanish rice.
The eternal games of werewolf going on.
There's something really funny, too, to, like, the people who are part of the scene but engaged in a different way. I think that's the magic, too. Like, one of the many magics of Channel 5 is, like, you know... at ComplexCon, you can talk to someone in line, but you can also talk to the person who's like running one of these hot stations or whatever, like a pseudo celebrity in this community. Yeah. It doesn't all have to be fans or outsiders. Like, you're getting all these different perspectives. And I think seeing those, especially when they're at odds with one another, are so that's when you end up with some of the really interesting drama and like fun of these videos.
Yeah. So what if, like, to guide the game, we come up with a set list of the archetype person we need. So, like, it could be we need a casual fan, or we need a micro influencer, or we need someone behind the scenes. And then
we need a dad who brought their kid here. Like,
yeah,
completely
exactly.
Oblivious, but gonna say some cool shit.
Yeah, and so you get these like archetypes in there, and then you get a location, and then you work as a group and create the kind of surreal situation, and then you roll tape.
I really like this too, as extrapolating it and as like, you know, recording people who are in the shelter of the zombie apocalypse or whatever. Like, we're...
Yeah.
Again, we to go back a few weeks when we were talking about King Tide and just the sort of normalcy that comes from living in a situation that is dangerous. Like when you just get used to it.
Right.
Like zombie shelter day one is a panic room, but zombie shelter 8 months in, like people have started to maybe let their guard down a little bit, and they've also found some sources of entertainment because they just have to.
Yeah.
And like that's an interesting, fun story to tell and to examine from these like weird, varied perspectives.
Or like you're playing your fantasy RPG and the jousting tournament comes to town and then you just do it at the jousting grounds.
That's like, so fun.
Talking to one of the knights, the king's guy you're talking to.
That's such a compelling thing too, to add like interesting NPCs or story hooks or whatever to your main game if you wanted to like play this as a side session.
Yeah, it like totally helps. I mean, unfortunately, we're designing a good game again.
Damn it. We keep trying not to. We're back.
Yeah. Where you can get this, like, it's almost getting a character study of many different types of people in a place. So it's like kind of doing a plein air thing and just letting, because they're not connected necessarily, so you're just kind of making this mental narrative. The main connection is the event that draws these people together. Of course, until they meet each other or whatever. I can imagine at the jousting game, you meet both the enemy knights or maybe one of the knights and the squire of another one or something. Yeah. And then you get seen with both of them together. And
then just like a lot fun of, probably ensues.
Yeah, it's like a lot of games we make that's just like loading as much potential energy before play starts so you can just go 100 miles per hour. You can just totally burn out on a play.
Yeah.
Burn out car style, not the style we do.
I don't even want to touch on that this week or I'm going to die on air.
Yeah.
Just the thought completely derailed me.
Oh no, knights jousting. Potential energy.
Yeah, this also feeds into just like short game attitude or like chapter game attitude where you can play in many chunks. You can do one convention and just meet a couple people. You could stay at that convention as long as you want, meet dozens of people. You can move between locations and meet different people in different contexts. Maybe they cross over, you know, like there's multiple events in the same geographical area. And it gives us that Netflix, are you still watching button during play.
Yeah. I love that. And the skip intro button too. There's this awesome thing in Channel 5 where you start to see the same people pop up again. Like Ass Pizza will just makes appearances. I'll just emerge. I think that's great. I mean, what other kind of support do we need, like, during the scene? I guess, like, what does it look like during a scene?
Yeah, I think as long as there's stuff to converse about. So maybe having interview questions as the dice table or as, like, cards that, like, index cards you can come up with questions before. Like collaboratively, and you're just drawing.
Oh, that's great.
That would be fun, and it allows this lens, right? The interviewer is the lens through which we experience this world. Like they're the audience surrogate, even though, again, audience and actor are the same here. I don't want them to be. They're a character, but they're a blank slate, right? Like they don't make their thoughts known, and they don't, and like that's part of the magic of it too, is like, again, just putting the microphone in somebody in front of someone and letting them do their thing is where the magic is coming from. You don't have to like prod necessarily, but I think having conversation starters or conversation like exciters in that format is enough, because then you have the interviewer has something to do that lets the player like goof off and get into character and do that thing.
Yeah.
But then also hopefully fuel that later conversation when they meet another character.
Yeah, so maybe it's something that, like, the non-active players can vote or call out suggestions or something that, like, feeds the active talking player somehow. Because imagine this is a group game with no GM.
Yeah.
And one person is on mic and the other is the interviewer. And so making sure that those players that are just... I mean, I would just love to watch and cackle, like... I think that's the most enjoyable part. It's just observing it.
Yeah, this almost feels kind of like a Jackbox game of, like, here's your context, and, like, now you just go while we all, like, tap our phones and say how funny it is or whatever.
Right, exactly. Or we vote on... I guess it would be, like, voting on bringing characters back or in new situations. So, like, once you've introduced each character, you then... pull the group and see, you know, scenes are only like 90 seconds long,
right? They're short,
just really short. And yeah, I think that's good. I thought of a good name for it.
Yeah,
Hot Mic.
Great.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's on point.
Hot Mic.
Well, in half an hour, well, after a choppy start, we got a game.
Do we want to take a break, come back, chop it up, and then get out of here?
Yeah,
let's do it. Welcome back to the Brain Trust Podcast.
The other day, I was asking people to vote for me in real life, and my partner was so excited. She went to the page. She gave me 5 points.
No!
And that was it. And so for those of you who have voted or are familiar with the process, it's actually the worst, the least number. You give the thing that you like the most a number one, and you work your way down. But she did get other people to vote, I think, and so I imagine it'll just even out.
Well, I feel like if you choose 5 and nothing else...
Yeah, it's still something.
But someone's going to tabulate that vote and be like, interesting.
Right?
All I know.
One person logged in, cast one vote for the 5th favorite option and no other categories.
I don't like any of these, but I like this one the most least. Adam is just the most nominatingest designer of all time.
Which is an award in and of itself.
Yeah. One day we'll do an award show in here. That would be fun. We did the awards. We've done that before.
Yeah, but we did it as a joke, right? Like...
Yeah, it was about 1 million years ago. Yeah.
We'll have to bring it back. Yeah. I think, our ceremony was delayed.
Let's give out some quick awards right now. I'm ready to do it.
Okay. Let me open my itch or something so I know any games.
What are you
going
to even open? I would like to present an award to myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give one to you, too.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I don't have to say what the award is for, but I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you a confidential award.
Yeah, okay. The award for game I purchased most recently and haven't read is Liminal Horror.
Hey.
Liminal Horror by Goblin Archives. I've heard good things. I picked it up. I did print out my own zine copy, and then my dog ate it, so... And I wish that was a joke.
You know, liminality is such a funny thing. It's sort of the space between the spaces that we are usually in. Hallways. Airports. My old joke on this podcast used to be that liminality sucks. It's okay to just like the airport. You can admit to it. But yeah, liminal horror. I guess let me give an award to Brian Eno.
Hmm.
For best music to play in an airport.
Yeah, kind of has the stranglehold on the category.
Yeah, at the at Logan Airport, or no, is this like Reagan in DC, where they play jazz all the time, and when it's near Christmas time, which is usually when I was at that airport, I was about to give extra context for when Christmas was. That's just the mode of speaking that I'm in. Christmas, it's a winter holiday. And they always have a horrible swinging Christmas music there. So I would say that that is definitely my number five that I would vote for.
Now I feel like I got to do joke ones.
Oh, you want to do? I could do a real
liminal
one.
Horror.
You do a joke.
Was
one
a real
and I'll
one.
Do a real one.
Let's see. I'm gonna give an award to Night Yeast, the Swedish OSR zine series, as most resilient to my dog's eating of any games that I've had my dog eat so far. I was really upset that Beans tore up my first volume of Night Yeast issue 1, but really just got the cover, all the interior still safe. Most resilient to bean biting is Night Yeast.
Impenetrable, unfuckwithable.
Beans ate my Mutant Year Zero hardcover, and it lost this contention to the Night Yeast zine because Mutant Year Zero is fucked up now.
Oh god. Beans really eats.
He do
stuff,
be eating.
Huh? He's really. That's why they say dogs eat your homework. Does Beans eat homework? Do you think
yeah.
he should be offering homework instead?
Oh, if I think he probably was. We got him from a rescue, and I wonder if he was given up for adoption because he kept eating a child's homework. And the parents were like, our kid is going to get kicked out of school if we don't do something about this.
Our child is failing. This dog is doing too many idiomatic things. It's too on the nose. They don't believe us. Anyway, Beans is goated. What's the Beans report? How's this guy doing?
Oh, good. I was going to take him to the PARK, but I forgot we said that we were going to record it for. So I'm still... I'm still planning on doing that after this, but I keep taking one headphone off to make sure he's not chewing the couch again. Last episode was abruptly ended by Beans ingesting wood from the couch frame. So I'm keeping an ear out.
What a soldier.
Otherwise, fantastic.
That's great to hear. Big park guy.
Big, big, yeah, everybody loves them. People, dogs.
Aww.
Good times. So, I am excited. That's like my tranquil moment for myself lately.
Oh, well, let's get you out there. We are recording this more often, so I think we should do shorter episodes. That sounds good to me.
I'm on board with that.
Especially... Oh, go ahead.
This week's been a week. I do believe I might have cried every day since the last recording.
Hey.
But.
Oh, no.
Cyber Metal is on its way. The physical hardcover books are in transit. They're going to be here in like 4 days.
RPGs is blood, sweat, and tears.
Truly. I designed a game this morning. I sent my... July Patreon game to print last week, and it's also shipped today. So I'm like doing stuff, just does not feel good, really in any way. And
it sounds like you need a vacation.
I feel like I just did one and it did help, and then every day since then has been torture. That might be an interesting subject of just like vacation as burnout remedy, but then like how do you go back to work after that without just going back to bullshit?
Yeah, I mean the burnout theory is that you have to stop to start figuring out what's burning you out and to deal with it.
I think I didn't confront it at all. I took a little vacation, completely removed from work and from even thinking about work. And then the next, like, I got back, and the next day I was like, well, I got to go back to work. And I just did I honestly think
yeah, going somewhere, doing like a high activity vacation is worse. That's not a vacation in the eyes of burnout. So after Torque, I just had 2 weeks off where I just did everything I liked to do every day, and I kind of rebuilt my schedule. But that's just one way to do it.
Yeah, those peaceful moments I get now are often at the dog park because it's completely brain empty, and also there's dogs. Like, you can just pet stranger dogs, watch Beans play with other dogs. And then that's it, really, I guess.
Well, let's get you to the dog park for the first step of defeating burnout.
With that in mind, I'm at worldchamp.io. I'm at WC Game Co. on Twitter. Cyber Metal 2012 is coming out in like 2 weeks or something now. Like, damn, it's done now. Like, I'll have the books in hand, the digitals ready to go. It's coming out. So worldchamp.io will be the source for that as well.
And I'm Will. You can find me at will.com. Go vote for Babes in the Wood at the Ennies. Give it a 1. Or 5 if you don't vote for anything else. I think that that's fine. Again, we are nominated for Best Rules for Archives of Alexandria. I popped up 50 community copies there, so go check that out on my itch page, itch.io, williopst.itch.io. And if you like the sound of Hot Mike, the game we made this week, why don't you let us know the brain trust and we'll make it.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate. brain emoji, handshake emoji.